Hello, I'm Nanadra.
Hi, I'm Abnam.
And we're two hearts in a pod.
Okay, Abnam. Qu'est-ce qui se passe? What are we doing today?
Yes. Steam. Clean. Steam.
Yes.
Well, the fact that someone has said, does Marianne listen to this podcast?
She has to listen to this episode.
She says I'm in my steamless era and I am proudly in it. Yes.
Oh my God. You're steamless. Then, see, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be steamless, Abnam. It can be a nice blend of, you know.
So you see, that's what I'm saying, that there's a way that some authors write it, like Abby Jimenez. It happens in part of your world. But it was... Mm-hmm.
In all her books.
Yes. I love her stories. They are not closed door, but it's done in a tasteful way. I want to try and figure out, like, I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. I know there are certain terms that make it a bit more lewd than others, you know, the use of certain terminologies and even certain aspects of the act that make it, very jarring, or, you know, just flowing with the story. Like when it's done the way Abby Jimenez does, and I feel like Asia Monique did that too for me in And Then Life Was Beautiful.
Okay.
But they write in different styles, so I'm still trying to put my finger on what is
how they're similar.
So maybe now I'll start taking notes of the terminologies they use, comparing it to some of the ones that come off a bit more jarring for me.
Jarring. Let me pull up on Abby Jimenez and see if one of my favorite ones, which is the Happy Ever After playlist. I think it's on my Kindle. Have you read that one?
But I have to read it. You remember I read The Friend Zone long ago, like 2 years ago.
Yes.
2 years ago. And I didn't read. There was one after that before Happy Ever After playlist. Anna.
There are five of them.
Friend Zone. It's Happy Ever After playlist, the one after that. And then there's a third one before Part
Happy
of
Ever After
Your
playlist
World.
Is after Friend Zone.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then something comes,
then
right?
Then there's the one with the girl that does a YouTuber that gets a baby accidentally.
I've forgotten the title.
And the love interest is a yellow cover. A love interest is a doctor or something.
Hey, I haven't
Part
read
of Your
that
World?
Too.
No, that's why you said you read. I forget the name of that book, but yes, I've read that as well.
Life's Too Short. Oh, I actually have the hardcover. Huh.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, then I got a new bookmark. Hey, let me show it all. Before you get yours. You got one too. And
to put away my Kindle or what?
Yes, put it in your Kindle. It's magnetic, so I feel like you can even put it on.
Oh, I love those. I love those. Yeah.
Did I show you yours? Look at mine. Look what's written on it.
What does it say? Book lovers never go to bed alone. This is true.
No, but do you get why they got this for me?
Yes, I do.
And I was like, they are very foolish for that.
That's sweet. I think the word they're looking for is sweet. Tea, biscuits, and a good book. Yep. That's me for sure.
So they showed it to me and then they were like, which do I think is for who?
Ah, thank you guys.
Yeah. So
I start pulling up an Abby book to see if there's something that I can, like, I don't know what I'm looking for exactly, but I just remember that there was sex scenes in this book, but it just never felt jarring. It felt like very much.
It felt very
this
beautiful
is where it's supposed to be.
And it felt more like you know the difference between when they say love making and then effing. It really feels like that. So this is what the bookmark is like. I can't wait to use it
in the pages.
I have to keep this well. Because you know these people, these little humans.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm looking at it.
Okay.
At that page, her clothes are off, but mm-hmm. it still doesn't, like, it's fine. Mm. It's coming from her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she uses the word erection. We have erection here.
Uh-huh, it's there, but you know,
yeah, that's, I don't know, true. There's, it's just growing harder. Okay.
It's all there.
It's all there. He's Let moving. He's kissing. Okay, I get what you mean. Like, it's, I've read this book maybe 5 times, but it always just is. So I think for me,
five what I would times.
Say, now let's focus on what's important here.
I tire you.
I really I'm like the book. Okay.
I'm tired of you. No, like, I get it. Like, when I finished it, I felt like I want to read this again. Actually, again, I think this is the episode where we do our top reads of the year.
Okay, all right, then. It's just as well that Abby comes up in the beginning. Yes, this is will be our top reads of the year episode. And we have Christmas in 2 weeks.
At first, I would have taken my time to go through, but I feel like if it comes to mind,
then you loved it.
Uh-huh, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were saying.
I can't wait. Yeah, so I was saying that I think the thing is, and that's something that I've been very, like, insistent on in all the books that I read, is that I want the sex to come later. And I think that's probably what Abby does well. So she builds that emotional connection between the characters over a period. This page, this part that I'm reading, which is the first time the characters are having sex, we're halfway through the book. So this is chapter 23.
Part of your world?
No. This is Happy About After Playlist.
Uh-huh, okay, because that one, there was a one
night stand. It was a one night stand, yeah. And but it was even quite early. Then,
but even then, I think she didn't go too much. Let me see if I'll find it. While you are, you know.
While I work on this, yes.
Yeah.
So, first of all, it's halfway through. They've met on the phone and by text and have talked a bit, but they haven't had sex yet. And I think, well, for good reason, because she's grieving and he's kind of trying to give her time. So I suppose
don't give me spoilers.
Oh, you'll know it from the very beginning. I think even at the end of the friend zone.
But I read that ages ago, so I don't remember. It's true. Yes. Her friend who lost. Heartbroken.
It was so hard. But she gets a second chance. Yeah. So that was what happened at the end of the friend zone. So yeah, she's grieving, so he's giving her time. So it's halfway into the book. And I like, so I think that the difference is with the kind of romance that we're saying, black calling seamless, but that you and I are saying is maybe the preferred kind, is that the characters have time to get into each other and
like to build up to it.
Build a relationship and like connect emotionally on different levels. So that by the time sex happens, it's just the next step in this beautiful thing you're already building.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Part of Your World, where you're saying, where we say it was a one night stand, I think she still kind of worked in such a way that we could tell that these souls are connecting.
Yeah.
And it's not just we're having sex this time and if it happens again, okay, well, that's great. But it's clearly, this is a big, important thing we're doing and we intend to make it count. Even with, and then
Life was actually, beautiful. Uh-huh, so... Part of Your World. Okay, so I said I didn't have a girlfriend, blah 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 blah, and then she smiled. Okay, I woke up the next morning at 6 a.m. naked and happy after having the best date of my entire life, and then I realized she was gone. So it was implied.
It was implied.
She, and then when it moves to Alexis, POV.
Point of view.
Mm-hmm. She was like, I woke up in a strange man's bed, blah, 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 blah. I'd gotten up to use the bathroom and put on his hoodie. When I was washing my hands, his wallet fell out of the pocket, open to his driver's license. I don't want to give things away. So, but then, like, it's implied. She doesn't
go into that level of detail.
I love that. I love that. See? Because, you know, I've been sent an advanced reader's copy of this book. Mistletoes and Mimosas by M.L. Preston. And it's basically about two people. It's an interracial romance. The woman is Black. And it's about they had a friends with benefits thing over the course of a week or a few days. And then I think he had an emergency and left without saying goodbye. She woke up to an empty bed. And so she got pissed. And then they accidentally, like, they are part of a group of friends, sort of. But they end up being booked into the same room, like, a year later for Christmas. And she's pissed. And he wanted more. And it gave us the first chapter or prologue or whatever was their first sexual encounter. And it put me off, you know, like right on page one, and it started and it put me off, and I haven't been able to continue. Like,
oh, gosh.
And I also didn't understand why she had held on to this anger when you were the one who kept telling him you don't want anything.
It's nothing serious. Yeah.
So he woke up and left without saying goodbye. Like, is that so grievous that you hold on to the anger for an entire year? Like, I felt like the level of her anger wasn't matching the grievance, you know.
I mean, maybe because it's friends with benefits, maybe they're friends first and she expected them to treat her with a little.
They were not necessarily friends. So he is brother to her friend's new husband, I think. So they are not friends per se. They were both in the
just
wedding.
Know each other.
They were not necessarily. It's not like they've been friends for years. And you had an agreement. You said you don't want anything serious. And he wakes up without saying goodbye. I mean, it shouldn't pain you, right? But then I guess maybe it's to much. Show that she had feelings, you know, in spite of everything. Mm. Anyway. But it put me off. And this is why I don't like like, I don't ask for advanced reverse copies because I don't like giving bad reviews. Anyway.
I don't like giving bad reviews. You have to give that review.
I don't have to. They are not paying me. They're not paying me.
Ah, fair enough.
I don't even know why they sent it to me. And I can't ask because then they'll be expecting the review.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you just have to keep quiet and sit in the corner. But yeah, I was saying about And Then Life Was Beautiful that I do think that despite the number of times they banged on the pages, that she did establish it quite well. In fact, they also had a one-night stand. But even when they met...
No, it wasn't one-night stand. They already had an established relationship. But in the beginning, barely, it was similar.
Yeah.
They had been together for a while. Like, they hadn't
necessarily... No, I'm talking about when they first met.
No, they hadn't just met.
I'm talking about their first meeting. Their relationship started from it's been a one-night stand. And he rather told her, I don't do one-night stands. So this is don't think this is a one-night stand. This is a relationship.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So remember when they met?
Yes.
He's basically just, they felt a connection to each other and he beckoned her and she sat in the car and followed him home. Like, no finger danger at all.
Look at how they are setting bad examples in these books. People, don't be jumping in a stranger's car because you're like, before you know, he's connecting.
He wants to slice you up for breakfast.
Yeah.
So he's connecting with your bones, not with you. So yeah, that one. Ordinarily, I'd have said, buy me dinner first, but then she set it up nicely such that it felt as if, in spite of this being our first meeting, they're going to take care of each other.
Yes.
And like, so it felt nice and gentle and soft, and they were just soft with each other the whole time. And honestly, I enjoyed it. It was just so, like, it was just lovely.
Yeah.
My only problem with that book was after, like, the first two, like, the happy ever after had happened. Why was I still in this place reading your about you, the two of you. I was done. I was happy. It was after. Why am I still here?
Why are you in the after?
After, release me. Let me go. I kept too long in the after. That's my pet peeve. I want to,
you see,
yeah, you find happiness. I want to, like, I want you to figure yourself out, and when you find happiness, release me. Let me imagine the rest of it. Like, oh, how great. Like, I don't like it when books end and the epilogue is 10 years later. Miss me with that 10 years. 50 years. No. I don't want to see any gray-haired main characters. No.
Harry Potter did us dirty. Harry Potter
honestly
did us dirty. I hated that thing that they did. It pained me that I read it.
They are young people in my head. Age them.
I don't want to see them having children who are going off to Hogwarts. No, but was that in the book or they put it in the movie? Now I'm confused.
It was in the book. And that's how come the cursed child, I guess they started the cursed child off from then. From the end when they were on platform 9 3/4 and sending their kids home.
The cursed child, the title should have told them this book will be cursed. Because I don't know any serious Potter fan who enjoyed that thing.
I enjoyed it.
I was
in the bookshop the day it released, July 31st, 2016.
Wow.
Standing at the door when it was released.
I see. Actually,
It wasn't like, oh, you haven't. It wasn't as good. And I think maybe it was set up for failure because it was coming after the first 7 books, honestly. But it was fine. I enjoyed it.
I don't think I'll read it.
Yeah. I maybe have a copy somewhere. I bought one. A hard copy. Mm-hmm. I read a hard copy, I'll have you know. Many years ago.
Many years ago in the Stone Age. In your Stone Age.
In my Stone Age.
I see. And then life was beautiful. Like, you know, it's interesting. And you know, recently I was thinking to myself, no, but I realized I was wrong about that. But actually, maybe I'm right. So I was comparing how emotional I felt about the characters in Parts of Your World and then Life Was Beautiful. I was reading the two books concurrently, and it made me realize that truly representation matters, because I felt my emotions were more invested when I was reading and then Life Was Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
I found that very interesting.
That's good.
And then one thing I noticed, there was this part where I think they got caught in some bizarre rain. What's her name? Ali and what was the guy's name?
This is Part of Your World.
Yes. And the author wrote, you know, he noticed her, she tossed her wet red hair over her shoulder. And I thought to myself, I was like, from the beginning of the book, you've characterized this woman as a white woman with red hair. Was it necessary to put in that red part after the wet?
I've just been her wet hair.
Exactly. And I was like, these racial markers have become the norm for white authors to the point that they don't even realize.
They don't even see when they're doing it. Like, you're doing the most. We didn't need that.
That they are, you know, making sure you remember this is a white character I'm writing. And then it makes you understand why African Americans also take their time to make sure that this woman is mocha colored. With, you know,
I know, right?
Eyes.
Hazel brown, oh Lord.
Yeah. Anyway. But you know, I always did wonder, you know, whenever I think of Hazel Eyes, I think of this character, this actor. the guy who played Avery in Grey's Anatomy.
What's his name? Jesse Williams.
Yes.
And but then, his eyes are not even hazel, you know? And they like, he's almost like green-eyed Bisa.
But it's hazel because it's not completely green. It's mixed with, you know, brown or something. But I started reading this book by a Nigerian author, Amaka Eze, Christmas at the Villa. I'm enjoying it so much.
That's cool. I think I saw on your Instagram yesterday.
Yeah. And she characterized the female main character as dark-skinned, but with hazel eyes. And then I was confused. So I actually, you know how you can tap the word and it pulls up the definition. And apparently there are brown eyes that can be considered hazel. Like it's a whole spectrum of hazel.
You know that I always assume hazel was brown because of Nutella hazelnut chocolate.
I see.
Whenever I see hazel, I assume it's brown. Like I thought that maybe it's a slightly lighter brown than like maybe an African's eyes. But I consider myself as being hazel brown-eyed, so I'm not sure what y'all are on about.
But you're actually right. That makes a lot more sense than what I had been thinking. Like hazelnut. Hazelnut is brown. So hazel brown, eyes so I always brown went with eyes.
That, yeah.
Whoa! This is really an epiphany. So I was so confused. But yeah, that there are, you know, dark-skinned people with light brown eyes. Or, you know how when light hits your eyes, and then when you experience certain emotions, maybe your eyes will become darker. His eyes darken with desire.
Oh, God. I've never seen that in real life before. Unless I'm just not looking deeply into people's eyes enough. Like, I don't see emotions changing people's dilating and things.
But isn't it funny how, you know, in spite of racism and all that, especially in romantic circles, darker things are considered are desired, like that whole term,
tall, dark and handsome.
Tall, dark and handsome.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Or he had bronzed arms. They would never say pasty white.
So that you'll imagine somebody who's a vampire. No, please.
Like they always try to darken them a bit more to make and them desirous. Bit, yeah. And it's such a contradiction.
Nothing annoys me more than a wise woman saying, "I like him tall, dark, and handsome," and a white man walks in. Like when I'm watching Love Island, and they're like, "What's your type?" I was like, "My type is tall, dark, and handsome, nice teeth." Mm-hmm. And then some white guy walks in, and I'm thinking, "Where's the dark man I'm looking for? Where's my tall, dark, and handsome man?" That really throws me off when they say that in the books. I'm like, "Oh, he was tall, dark, and handsome, but then he had some brunette hair, or his hair's floppy and falling on his face." I'm just like, "No."
Dark man. Only one part of his body is dark. The rest is pasty white. So what are you saying?
What are you saying?
But you know, on the other hand, in Korean dramas, or even I think in Korean culture in general, the lighter skinned you are, the more desirable.
Yes. They actually do a lot of skin lightening. In Asian culture.
But then that is also an after effect of colonialism or whatever happened to them. I don't know if they were colonized by the Brits, but anyway, yeah.
Who wasn't?
Who wasn't? Who in this world wasn't? The whole world was colonized by the Brits.
Right? For me, when I also hear the Koreans saying, "Oh, like lighter skinned," I'm confused because they all look light to me. So I'm just like, what are you lightening again? Are you trying to have the color of your blood?
Are you trying to turn invisible?
Like, you're so light already. What lightening again do you need?
Hmm.
Very strange. Anyway, shall we talk our top tens now? Are you ready?
No, let's talk our current reads first.
Okay. Ooh, let me see. My current read. Okay. Okay, let me take you through my process. So I started reading and then Life Was Beautiful, I think on maybe 2 days ago. I finished it yesterday. I enjoyed it. You know Matna comes with it. We spent too long in your joy. There wasn't enough angst for my liking, but I love how great the main character, the male main character's love was, and how vulnerable he was with her. And he just was, he wasn't trying to be a macho man, even though he really was kind of a macho man. So I liked that. He was open and just, it was great. He was a strong, silent type, but so vulnerable and open with his girl. And I like that the initial misunderstanding where it was like, oh, will she accept me? And she's thinking, will he accept me? And somehow they both had such deep emotions for each other that they wanted each other. So they sorted that out quite quickly. I love that. So after I got through their painful joy, too much joy, guys. That was an extended epilogue. After they got together, the book should have ended. I was happy. Why am I still here? But anyways. And then I tried this Formula One romance that I found called Hammer Time. I was going to read it, well, because obviously I like Formula One, but also Hammer Time is like a thing that has to do with my favorite driver, Lewis Hamilton. So yeah, I was going to read it because it's called Hammer Time, and Hammer Time usually is in reference to when Lewis Hamilton is about to go ham. You know, he's going to kill it and, you know, pass everybody. You so know, when his engineer goes,
I was
like,
going
it's
to
time.
Say MC Hammer.
I think that's probably in reference to that. So what happens is when, because the team radios are public, everybody can hear it, including your opponents. So you probably want to have key code words that you only your driver can interpret. So I suspect that's probably what his engineer Bono was trying to say by saying it's hammer time, and then you know that this means you need to go hard, use all your energy, pass all the cars, you know, something, just pull something out of the bag and give us the win. And so I thought that Hammer Time was probably going to be something like that. And like every Formula One romance I've tried so far, I stopped in the middle. Not in the middle, I stopped like maybe after a few chapters. It's clearly like a new writer who's, I think, also indie published. And I'm happy for her to add this to the, you know, the store of Formula One romances in the world. It's just not, there's something about it. The way they speak doesn't feel natural. The characters are good, and I was very hopeful when I started reading it. But first of all, there's quite a number of mistakes in the book. So that keeps taking me out of the experience. And then the way they speak is just not given natural. It's either it's not intentional and she's just trying to write properly, or she's trying to convey that the characters speak English as a second language, and that's why they speak that way. Because the characters, the main girl is Spanish, or she grew up in Spain, and the guy is also Italian, I think, or something. Like,
but there are people like that who speak very good English.
So maybe, I'm just trying to make an excuse for her as to why they would speak in that way. Like, not wrong grammar or anything. It's just like, even in regular conversation, they would say, yes, I am going.
Oh.
As opposed to like, I'm going. Like, just people that...
It's not conversational language.
It's not conversational. Yeah, it's not conversational. And I think that kept pulling me out of it. So as much as I love Formula One romance, I'm still on the hands for the one that would, you know, really make me excited. Or
I sent you some. Yeah. I sent you some recs, I think. Somebody did a whole...
Yeah, so Hammer Time is from that list you sent me. I've read a few, and Hammer Time is from that list.
Oh, I see.
So I gave up on Hammer Time, and I started the Bromance, A Very Merry Bromance. Is that what it's called?
Hey, I don't remember. Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
Run by Lisa K.
Lisa
Adams.
K. Adams.
Yes, and I'm enjoying it so far. I'm only like two chapters in. Started this morning on my morning walk. I'm enjoying it so far. I can see that the man is going to be.
You started
an emotional
on your
man.
Morning walk. And I know you are not listening to the audiobook.
No, I was reading.
How were you reading while you were walking?
Oh, no, that's how I get through books, okay? Every minute counts.
Are you not tripping and falling?
I know my neighborhood. I know where I'm walking.
Are people hearing this? Hey, every day, it's like every single time, like I'm unlocking more secrets in this Russian doll of a human being.
Russian doll, you know.
You read while you walk.
Yes, I know. Strange, but it's a Kindle. It's easier than if it's a hard copy. It's almost like if you're working on your phone, but instead, you're reading a book. People are on their phones while working all the time. It's the same thing.
I know people listen to music, people listen to audiobooks, but to be reading. Like,
think of it as you're sending a WhatsApp, but instead you're reading a WhatsApp message, a very long one that you never stop.
No. Hey, what planet are you from, please? I feel
look,
like
it's working, okay?
They should create like contact lenses that track the way people read, and they should put it on your eyes.
That would be so cool to figure out like how many words per minute and things like that. That would be so cool.
They have to experiment on you. Wow. Okay. Yeah. If anyone has done this before, I feel like
it's not odd.
We should put this on Instagram for people to tell us the strange ways they read.
They've read. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. Reading while walking. I've been doing it for years.
Even when you were reading physical books.
Even when I was. That's how I know it's difficult to use physical books, to work with physical books. So I had to switch eventually.
My mind is so blown.
Just try it and see. You know your neighborhood, so you won't fall down.
No. I'll enter a gutter right now.
Well, then you still have to keep reading.
Then they'll ask when they take me to the hospital with my broken leg. I was reading.
They hope it was worth it.
The way the nurses will insult me. They'll give me more injections because of that.
Book long. Uncle and Alpe reading.
Wow, fascinating. Okay, continue.
So that's what I started this morning while walking up in there.
What book you mentioned?
Lisa K. Adams, a very, very, let me confirm the title, Very Merry Bromance. I think you've read it already, right?
I haven't read it.
Yes, it's a Very Merry Bromance. It's shaping up nicely. I can already tell that the man is going to be like, he's a big, strong, you know, alpha, whatever, but he likes this person and he's going to be open and vulnerable with her. And I like nothing more than a vulnerable man. So I'm already sold, as you know.
So basically what you're saying is I've been winning with my book recs, right?
Oh, right? Calm down, Abda.
Two books in a row? Or is it three? It's two.
Are you counting And the Life Was Beautiful that I've come to castigate?
No, you enjoyed it. Your only problem. Which I don't understand. Like, what kind of human being will say too much happiness? Hey!
I wanted them to go through a few things, you know.
No.
Small.
Please.
Fine, small. Something small.
But you know, I love that because you know how there's a lot of people who claim, oh, Black romances are full of trauma. I'm like,
true.
People have that stereotype. And so a lot of Black authors have put in the efforts to write romances where all the conflict is external to the characters. You know?
Yeah, and it's working. Yeah.
Yeah, because it does exist. Look. I don't understand why people would think that white love is more peaceful or less traumatic.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
When you look at, of course, love doesn't equate giving birth, but I feel like I don't even know how to put this, but basically, all types of love exists in among all races.
Okay, and, yeah, exactly.
And race is a social construct in the first place, anyway. So why would you say that there's only one type of romance? People are just lazy. That's what it boils down to. They are just ready they don't to pick the first thing they see on the shelf in Barnes and Noble. And actually, this rhetoric is loudest from the US. And recently, I was thinking to myself, maybe I should start seeking out, you know, following readers from other parts of the world more.
Because... The answer is yes. Look, the problem with America, and I'll tell you from my experience as a political analyst. Yeah, right. My problem with America is how much they center themselves in everything.
Yes.
Everything.
The whole world revolves around
them. The whole world revolves around them.
In all their movies, the aliens come to America.
Come to America. Are you the world? You are lucky they'll stop by Big Ben.
Yes.
And then just move back to America. And fair enough, you know what? The saying, I don't know if it's an African saying, that until the lion learns to write, all the books will glorify the hunter. So fair enough, you know.
Yes.
They are the ones making the majority of this media and all of this entertainment. Yeah. So they will center it around themselves, and we cannot complain because nobody has held our hands. You used to make your
own. You used to make your own. Exactly.
If you are so interested, make your own. But as long as they are the ones making it, we are stuck with it. But that means that if we don't like it, we have a choice to walk away. And the Americans center themselves in everything so much to the point that I get so tired of it. And I know that we grew up on American media, and that's often what we are used to and tend to enjoy. So, you know, it will just happen that those, if you ask maybe our favorite rom-coms, you're not likely to mention like a British or African one.
Like that's how.
So it is what it is. But yes, they are too centered. Just find yourself following maybe some other, like there are Black British book talkers out there.
Yes. Remember the one that I said that she reminds me of you? Hey, I love her post. Like she speaks proper British accent.
Yeah,
she's dissing the
She's
book.
Saying the horriblest things. You know, people that you feel like are closer to your reality, which is why you, as a bookstagrammer, are also an important part of the, you know, the ecosystem, because then you're filling a space that somebody else is looking for. When they get on YouTube or on Instagram, they want to hear somebody that sounds like them and looks like them talking about books that they too enjoy. And eventually they want to read books by people that look and sound like them.
Yeah.
And that's where you and I come. So yes, move away from Americans. You'll feel much better.
Honestly, because I realized it was taken, because there is so much drama on that section of book talk.
They'll complain about everything, and often from a place of, or not often, but there are times when they're complaining from a place of ignorance and a refusal to learn.
Yes. And I'm like, maybe I start looking for Canadian book talkers.
Yes.
Because I was like, you know,
European ones.
I want to read more Black romance, but I've been reading mostly African-American romance. And then, you know, as for Nigerian literature, there's, you know, it goes without saying, I love Nigerian literature. Yeah. So now I feel like next year I need to be more conscious of finding Caribbean authors, Black British authors, because apart from Talia Hibbert, I can't mention a single Black British. I mean, Frances Mensah Williams, I consider a Ghanaian.
She's Ghanaian. Yeah, me too. And there's Zara Appiah. She
I haven't read her. I haven't read that. So yeah, it's like I'm glad it's something I noticed. And so now I'm going to take steps to, properly. You know how some of these, I had this reading journal that set prompts so that you would, try books that were outside of what you would normally go for. So I think it's one of the challenges I just set myself.
Yeah, non-African American black romances. Reading and writing them. I agree 100%. How about you?
So what have I been reading? So I actually haven't finished And Then Life Was Beautiful.
You stress me out.
Well, you stress me out, I stress you out. That's how the love goes. But yeah. And oh, I just finished listening to Holidays in the Heights by Christina C. Jones. And when I saw
Christina
the
C.
cover,
Jones. I've read a book of hers, haven't I?
yes, you have.
Okay, the one that's like real.
You said it was like real?
The one that's like real.
Yeah, I
That's the one I've
think
read.
well,
Yes,
I've forgotten the
yes,
title, but yeah.
yes. Me too.
So this is it's a collection of three short stories, I guess. Is this short stories or novellas? I'm not sure. I listened to it, so I don't know the number of
All the
pages.
length, yeah.
But initially, when I saw the cover, I thought it was a Christmas romance. But in actual fact, the
It's
first
not.
story is set at Halloween, the second is set in Thanksgiving, and the third is set New Year's Eve. So Christmas isn't
Oh,
even
they skip
next
Christmas.
year.
I thought you were gonna say the third is just at Christmas.
Oh, that's what I thought. But I enjoyed it so much. Hey, and it made me understand why some people love audiobooks, because the characters literally come to life. And the second story, especially, that was my favorite. The second one is titled Plus One.
Thanksgiving.
And it has to do with this girl. Oh man, she downloaded a dating app for, I think, for black love. I think it's actually called BLKLV app. And what she does is she has this game where she'll find the most attractive guys and swipe left on them. I think if you swipe right, it means you'd
You
like to
want
match
them, yeah.
them. Like she rejects them, and her
But they
thinking,
can't tell if you reject them.
okay, I don't know how that app works. It's a
Okay,
fictional app, but anyway, she's
fair
like,
enough.
she wants to bring them down a peg, and I'm like, what kind of
Oh my
sad
gosh. I don't think it's going to affect them like that. If they're that hot, they don't care.
go and see. The guy is well educated, he's fine. He doesn't have
Swipe
any
left.
kids.
It's a
Wants to bring
punishment for
them down
you've
a
been
notch.
too quiet. Oh my God. How
And so
big time.
she sees this guy on the app, and he is so fine. And then she feels like, oh, this guy, let me. So she swipes left, and then she meets him in real life. But I think the app, this particular app,
It
like
tells
they get
people.
to see, because he recognized her.
It's not my fault. And so she swiped left
She
on you, and so
was trying to hide, blah blah blah. Anyway, she managed to leave that place without interacting with him, but he had noticed her. Now fast forward to Thanksgiving, she has this thing she does with her friends, and they call it Friendsgiving, and she cooks. She loves to cook. And the friends come over. Sometimes they bring other friends, a plus one, the type.
Oh.
And now, when she feels like everybody has come, there's a knock on the door. It's like, ah, everybody's here. She's like, ah, well, maybe one of them invited somebody. She goes to open the door. It's
And
the
it's this guy. Oh God. Popular like a bad penny. Is it by
guy.
force?
But basically, because it's such a short story, obviously, we don't get to see the relationship developing. But it ended with them, you know, starting something. And I thought that was very beautiful, the way she wrote it. She gives you enough background to understand where each character is coming from. But she doesn't do too much to the point that you're like, how can this happen in such a short time?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my favorite. The last one is Press Rewind. And this one is, you know, two exes. And the only reason they are apart is because the girl wanted to go to Hollywood and the guy didn't want to move. They both work in music. Right. And apparently they make very beautiful music together. And so she's at dinner with their mutual friends. And instead of paying attention to conversation, she's on his IG stalking him.
Oh my God.
And then she ends up going to his place to spy. And that was the very moment he had decided to step out to throw something away or something. And so he catches her in the act.
Oh God, awkward.
And then they end up going to the studio to catch up. And then with that one too, it's like they decide to, you know, see how things will pan out. The first
I don't
one,
like fast short stories.
I mean,
now maybe, I want to know what's happening next.
The way she wrote it, I was happy with the way it ended. It didn't
ended.
Leave me fine. If a lengthier book comes out with their story, I would read it. But I don't feel dissatisfied. Like there are some short stories that you read and you feel like, no, like I'm not full. I it's like you've whetted my appetite or something. But these ones, they didn't feel that way. And then the very first story, which was set at Halloween, features two friends who own a bakery together. And I feel like that's probably my least favorite of the three, because it's like they've been friends with benefits on and off, with claims that if they try a proper relationship, it will ruin their business partnership and their friendship.
Well, people think that sex is not a problem. It's the relationship that will destroy it.
Unrealistic to me. Like, rather it should be, oh, let's not do anything. I feel like I would have...
Yes, at all. Let's have feelings
like,
for each other.
Exactly. But you've been on and off.
You heard it here first. Breaking news. I'm not like angst.
I rebuke it.
Did she not just admit preferring an angsty relationship to friends with benefits?
In a particular
context. Don't
worry,
Abna. We'll discuss on another episode. Just know that you're getting there. By the end of next year, you'll be saying,
I
love angst so much. Oh, then Andrea, you're so right. you're so right. Look at them. They're about to touch pinkies. Enjoy.
No. I don't like your kind of angst. You like pain. It's not angst, it's pain.
It has to be pain. There's a nice balance, like a fine line.
Pull out love in other words as my evidence. That book is a cool book in disguise.
Oh, Jai. It was not painful. Ah, it's a beautiful love story.
Stab in the heart, killing people left, right, and center.
Because like one person, relax.
Two people, they killed her mother in the beginning.
The mother died before the book started.
Exactly. Why do you hate this girl so much? Only her.
Right?
Dead people all around.
Right? Meanwhile, Elliot had all his family, including a new baby to add.
What? Why? Anyway, back to this first story. And so basically, the guy, I think he ended up dating someone at some point. And so they were back to just being business partners. And then he breaks it off. And then this Halloween, they end up going to the bakery together, like by coincidence. And then sparks start flying. Like, I didn't find that one believable or like I wasn't as invested. But, you know, I mean, at least I enjoyed it enough to continue on to the next story, which became my favorite. So, it's okay, I guess. And then, so, I'm still reading. And then,
in the villa?
No. That Amaka Ezie's one is Christmas at the Villa, and this one is Holidays in the Heights by Christina C. Jones.
Okay, Holidays in the Heights, okay.
And then, I think, yeah, so I'm currently still on And Then Life Was Beautiful. Oh, there was another one. Oh, yeah, and then I recently borrowed, oh, what's this author's name? Is it also Christina C. Jones? Let me check. I borrowed the audiobook. No, this Alexandra House, Stay With Me.
Okay. Yeah,
an audiobook. I haven't started it yet, though. So, sounds good. Hey, and some of the narrators are so good. Like the guy who did the voice for the male main characters in Holidays in the Heights.
So good.
Top notch, top notch. And then the girl as well. I think it was narrated by, what's her name? Ebony Flowers and Miles Washington. So good. So well done. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm reading currently. And then I think I also got Sinful Enforcer by Asia Monique. It's book 6 in the Mafia Misfits series. I haven't started, but I got to because the description, first of all, the description, it's like, it really sounds like a Grumpy Sunshine kind of thing.
Right.
And also forced proximity. And then the book cover. On the cover, it's a guy with locks.
Oh. Simple Enforcer.
And I'm like, this looks like it could be good. So, yeah. So that's what I've been reading.
Okay, all right, okay. So now, do you want to tell us your top? I guess it doesn't have to be 10. Maybe you're just your top reads of the year?
Yeah, off the top of my head. So, first off, Demon's Dream by L.K.
Is that in a particular order or is this
that one? I know for sure is number one.
Okay.
That is number one. And then Soulmate Equation by Christina Lauren.
Okay.
Chef's Kiss. And then Part of Your World. So that's what.
That's I've three. Said.
That's 3. And then Life Was Beautiful.
Okay.
So these are 4. What else comes to mind? You know, I just realized recently that we actually read before. No, you read Before I Let Go last year, but I read it this year.
Yes, last Christmas.
But because I love Real Way more, I'm not adding it to my top 10. Yeah. So far I have what, 3? I have 4. Demon's Dream. Soulmate Equation. Part of Your World.
And then
Life Was Beautiful. There was another one. Oh yes, Call Me Legacy. Just because.
Yes, that was so good.
That is what introduced me to Adesua's books.
Oh, we met Adesua this year.
Yeah.
It's gone by quickly. Legachi.
Yeah. And then, okay, now I'm checking the books I've read. So it means, okay, at least so I have my top 5.
You have 5, yeah, on the top of your head.
I have my top 5. Hey, but I just realized this year I read Sunny Disposition and I really enjoyed that to the point that it has made me search for more new adult romances. Like, I enjoyed that book so much. It was so well done.
Yeah, I read it.
Like, I felt like it was realistic. The kinds of issues they were dealing with as college students was very
college
realistic.
College students, yeah.
So that's my top 6. I think I might stop at top 6.
Okay. 6 is not bad. Even checking the list, you want to stop at 6.
Yeah. I mean, I loved King of Pride. I loved King of Pride.
King of Pride was good. Was that this year or last year?
It was this year. It was this
What
year.
does it
Was
feel as
movie.
if you read all those books last year? The King of Pride and King
It
of
means the year
Rock.
has been long.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I feel like whatever it takes has to join.
Yeah,
Whatever
yeah,
it
yeah. I think
takes
so.
being. Because I feel like Adeswa did such an amazing job with an unlikable character.
Character. She really made it work.
Yeah. So that's my top eight. Top eight.
Okay, all right. Not too bad. Not too bad. Let me think. I'm gonna try and do off the top of my head as well. But bearing in mind that because I have such a long list, I have to check at some points.
Yes.
But
Yes.
let me see the ones that come to mind by a thread. So this is no particular order. I'm just gonna think of all the ones that gave me joy throughout the year. By a Thread by Lucy Score is one of them. That was this year, right? We read them this year.
I don't know you the way you read the.
No,
ah,
I
but
think
it's
it was
not my
this year,
list,
right?
or did I forget? No, but it should be. Oh, that means I
We read
forgot.
it together, yeah.
It should be, because after that, that's why I wanted to read Things We Hide from the Light.
Aha,
And
then it
Things
was
We
this
Hide
year.
from the Light is here, so yeah. So it was this year.
Perfect. Okay, so yeah, that was a good book. So that's number one. Number one is on the list.
Okay, so by a thread.
By a thread. Let me think. What else? What else? What else did I read that I liked? Oh yes, no Nora Goes Off Script by Annabel Monaghan. Enjoyed that thoroughly. I enjoyed these. So yeah, and then of course, A Broken Kind of Love by Adesua. I enjoyed that as well. So that's three. And oh yes, the romantic comedy, Curtis Sittenfeld, so good, so good. So that's what, four. Let me see. Oh, Hello Stranger, Catherine Center. Right. I think maybe those are the five that I can see off the top of my head. Let me see how many more I'd like to add from the list.
The long
The
scroll.
List. The
It's a scroll.
I'm at like 103 of now.
That means
I'll add a few more in December.
This tracker I created was never going to be enough for you.
No.
Because it ends at 100. And I only got to, well, now that you say read by a thread this year, it means 39 books. I feel like I've forgotten some books. But at most, I don't think I've gone beyond 45 books this year.
Well,
you've read 103.
Yes.
Maybe
when I
you
finish
read
romance, I will be at 104.
Like 2.5 times more books than I read. Yeah.
I guess.
Almost 3
times. When I'm reading them in the year, I don't realize how much I'm reading until I look at the list.
2024, I want you to be tracking it more diligently, and then we'll see.
Yes. Yes, I shall. So what else? I've got those five. What else do I want to add? Hello Stranger is already there. Forget Me Not by Julie Soto. I thought that was really good. And I enjoyed The Enemy by Sarah Adams. And of course, The True Love Experiment, Christina Loren. And Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. Yeah. I read some black romance by Alexandra Warren in April, which I really enjoyed.
It's on my thing. So tiny I can barely see. Behind the Scenes.
Did I read that? Yes, I read. No, that's Christina C. Jones.
That's Christina C. Jones. Was it this basketball one?
Alexander yes, Warren. There was about three of them that I read. There's 2 minutes warning. There's Can't Catch Me. And then
hey,
In
then
His Corner.
Means...
In His Corner is a boxing one.
Hey, I've left quite a number of books for my list too, because I read Can't
See?
Catch Me as well. No, but it won't reach you, please. Let's not deceive ourselves. It won't reach.
Dear, dear, dear. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, remember when I was complaining on the podcast earlier this year that because of the writing I was doing, I was struggling to read because the characters were not allowing me. So I think even though I pushed through and I read about 6 books in January and like 7 in February, March was when I started to pick up again. So in the first 2-3 months, I think I didn't read anything that was like, oh my God, I can't believe I love this book so much. They were fine. I enjoyed them. But I think it was as I picked up momentum during the year that I started to be like, okay, yeah, I'm getting my groove back. I love this. I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that I'll stop my list there. That I was like eight books maybe. Top 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see some great books in here, but sorry, guys. It's not personal. It's too many of you.
It's always interesting looking back in and then you realize that wow, the year really is that long, because I feel like my reading tastes have also evolved
over in just this small year, right?
But I like where I am right now. I want to stay here. I want to stay here. I don't want to reach angst level, please God. Don't listen to Nana's prayers.
And that's what she thinks. By next year, I'm not be saying, they didn't cry enough in this book. What? No. And you know the funny thing? She'll be saying, I love where I am right now. And I'm staying this angst forever.
I rebuke it. Oh, boy. Yeah. So.
And then life was beautiful. Even the cover, even the title, that should have given it away. The title is clearly given epilogue.
Yes, very sweet. Very sweet.
It's telling you that this is an epilogue and it'll be an extended epilogue. Epilogue 1 and 2, me will be there. But they mentioned epilogue 1, epilogue 2. Hey.
Really? I haven't read this, so I don't know.
This woman said, we'll take this joy and we'll take it lying down.
Yes.
Good for her. She gave the characters lots of joy. I was happy.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite authors now.
Asia Monique.
Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I just have a thing for Monique.
Like the Moniques. Yeah, clearly.
Oh boy. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Methinks this is a good place to end.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas again, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy reading. We'll catch you in the next episode,
which is probably our last for the year.
Yeah.
Until New Year's.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Au revoir.
Au revoir.